This is Radio Superior 1940, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1939. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
You're listening to The Voice from the Head of the Lakes, station KUWS in Superior, Wisconsin. It's 6 o'clock Friday, folks, March 1st, 1940, and this is Jack McKenna speaking. We have a great show for you folks. Ray Paulson is in with the sports and some stunning news about Seabiscuit's racing future. Harriet has community news. Everybody's talking about that new book, The Grapes of Wrath. But first, Lou Martin has news from Finland and the Academy Awards. The 6 o'clock news is sponsored by Bridgman's Ice Cream. Get a quart of butterscotch sundae ice cream for just 35 cents at Bridgman's. Buy with so many, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The Finns are struggling to hold Viipuri as Russian forces close in on that bombed-out city. We begin our World Shortwave Roundup with Virgil Pinkley in Helsinki.
Helsinki, Finland calling. Virgil Pinkley reporting. Finland's second-largest city lies empty tonight. Viipuri is blackened by bombs dropped for the past 3 months by the Soviet Air Force. The Red Army is closing in on the gates of this once proud Finnish port city on the Karelian Isthmus. It is expected they'll arrive in a matter of hours, reversing the early victories this small nation achieved in December and January, the first 2 months of this Russian war of aggression. Since then, Russia has sent reinforcements to overwhelm Finnish forces. Sources say 19 fresh Red Army divisions, another 300,000 men, are being sent to the Karelian Isthmus. In spite of these overwhelming forces, the Finns fight on. They have fallen back to stronger defensive positions in the fortified Koivisto region and mined Viipuri Bay. Soviet dispatches say Russian forces have captured 68 iron and concrete forts and have occupied Hainjoki and Piro. Civilians cope with flames and casualties from bombings of several cities. Instead of breaking the will of these people, this only seems to deepen their resolve. One story stands out more than others. A small island town of Savonlinna report at least 10 people killed after a bombing raid. Savonlinna is undefended and the site of the medieval fortress of Olavi, up until now one of the best-preserved relics in Northern Europe. In a note to the League of Nations, the Finns say Russia is violating rules, even in this kind of war. Key points include bombing and machine-gunning civilians outside the fighting zone, misusing the flag of truce to break up a Finnish attack, and immediately counterattacking and bombing hospitals and refugees. The situation appears bleak, as Red Army forces greatly outnumber Finnish forces. Even so, after 3 months of fighting, Soviet forces have only been able to advance 38 miles on the Karelian Isthmus. In Helsinki, this is Virgil Pinkley calling the Third Reich. Come in, Max Jordan in Berlin.
Germany here, Max Jordan reporting. American emissary Sumner Wells has been told that Germany won't talk peace until the economic stranglehold is lifted by Britain. Nazi Foreign Minister Joachim von Ribbentrop told the U.S. Undersecretary of State that so long as England holds the Suez Canal in Gibraltar, there is no security for the world. Von Ribbentrop says this is a key weapon by Britain to bring the rest of the world to submission. Because of that, he claims Germany is doing the world a favor by opposing Britain. As for other acts of aggression, Mr. Wells was told that Germany took possession of Bohemia and Moravia, the former Czech state, to protect it. The attack in September to seize Poland was to protect the Third Reich from attack through that country by France and Britain. Mr. Wells is on a fact-finding mission for President Roosevelt. He is coming from a visit with Italian Premier Benito Mussolini in Rome. He'll meet with Nazi leader Adolf Hitler tomorrow. In Berlin, this is Max Jordan, National Broadcasting Company Blue Network, reporting.
This in from London. Any cargo ships with German coal will be confiscated by British ships as of midnight tonight. The order means Britain is blockading Italian imports of German coal delivered by sea. German planes broke up a British convoy, sinking several ships. The renewal of attacks on the sea comes even as Sumner Wells meets with high Nazi officials. A declaration by Marshal Hermann Goering's newspaper awaits orders from Adolf Hitler to begin the Luftwaffe's greatest test. The newspaper reports that these attacks on British shipping are nothing compared to what awaits England. Quoting Goering, "The German Air Force looks forward to coming events with incomparable confidence." Bridgeman's News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has this important information from our sponsor.
Indeed I do, Lou, but I don't want to have everybody's tongue hanging out with this one, because it's possible it's here. Another truly delightful ice cream by Bridgeman's. Oh, yeah. Butterscotch sundae. Ooh, ooh, just the sound of that makes me drool. Brick ice cream. Smooth golden butterscotch in separate layers all through the rich, flavorful cream. It's new. It's better than we can tell you. You must try a brick of this thrilling butterscotch sundae ice cream. Special prices now. 18 cents a pint for the brick. 35 cents a quart. Bridgeman Ice Cream Store at 1106 Belknap Street in Superior. Delicious, Lou.
A merger has created Superior's largest bank. National Bank of Commerce and Union National Bank made that announcement today. The new bank will be the largest in the city's history, with deposits of about $5 million. The National Bank of Commerce at Tower and 11th will be vacated while they remodel the building, so business for customers at both banks will be done at the Union National Bank building at Broadway and Tower. The remodeling will expand into the building of the former Savoy Theater and should be completed late this year. Modern security and banking systems will be installed. Joel Gates will be president of the new National Bank of Commerce. James Crawford and F.J. Jepson will be the vice presidents, and Richard Oyes, Adrian Forstrom, and Fred McDermott will be the cashiers. One of Superior's pioneering physicians died after a short illness. Dr. George Hall Conklin expired at St. Mary's Hospital, where he was admitted on Friday. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Dr. Conklin's life was a remarkable one, like many physicians who worked before the turn of the century. A native of Michigan, he moved to Superior in 1889. It was a boom time when Superior's West End was transformed from marshland to a thriving business center. The young doctor hung out his shingle in an office building on 6th Street near the Tower Hotel. Soon he became the Douglas County physician in a time before good roads and automobiles. In winter, he had to use a horse and sleigh or even snowshoes to get to remote parts of this large county. Dr. Conklin was beloved for his humanity and empathy among the less fortunate who had to rely on the county for medical service. In 1917, soon after the United States became involved in the World War, Dr. Conklin volunteered for medical duty. He was in charge of a base hospital in Vichy, France. Upon returning to the United States, he decided to take postgraduate courses in pediatric medicine. That became a passion of his when he returned to Superior, working with expectant mothers to prevent birth defects. He conducted free baby clinics. In 1929, Superior hired Dr. Conklin as its physician. For the next 4 years, he crusaded to make cleaner milk and milk products. He also pushed to clean city alleys and streets, which were clogged with refuse and coal ash. Next, Dr. Conklin was hired to administrate the county's tuberculosis sanitarium at Middle River. It was typical that Dr. Conklin never sought public attention for his work. The 74-year-old Dr. Conklin was a member of St. Albans Episcopal Parish for 50 years. His career is a reflection of the history of this area, Lou.
Perhaps like many good doctors in cities around the country, I remember Dr. Conklin loved the great outdoors. He loved wildflowers and was known for his expertise on wildflowers. Thank you, Mike. An Iron County committee has sent 100 Finnish marks to the State Finnish Relief Fund. State Chairman Walter J. Kohler says the statewide total is now $90,000. Mr. Kohler says Hurley School Superintendent J.E. Murphy is in charge of one of the most effective campaigns in the state. In Superior, a dance sponsored by the Finnish Labor Society will be held at the Alois Woodman Hall tonight. Proceeds will go to the Finnish Relief Fund. Jack, now you pay attention to this story. There's a new kind of radio to start in the Twin Ports later this month. Engineer W.C. Bridges is going to turn on his company's new frequency modulation transmitter.
Really? I know they've been experimenting with frequency modulation for a number of years, Lou. It's different from our broadcasting signal. It's much higher, and things like thunderstorms won't interfere with it. But it only goes as far as the nearest horizon. The catch is it doesn't travel as far, and people would have to buy a new type of radio to pick up the frequency modulation signal.
I guess you're up on this new thing. It's called FM, and the new station will be called W9XYH. Since Mr. Bridges owns WEVC Radio, W9XYH will carry much of the station's programming while it works out the bugs.
FM should catch on, Lou. I bet in 2 or 3 years, at least by the mid-40s, it'll be everywhere. It's really clear. It'll make us sound great. It's got a clarity that will make us sound like we're in the same room as you listeners.
I'm not sure that people want us to be that clear. Yeah, that's the news, Jack, except for the Academy Awards. Harriet will be in to help me with that.
Thanks, Lou. That's Lou Martin, friends, the best doggone newsman on any frequency. And he's frequently on. Our forecast for this Friday, March the 1st, 1940, calls for fair skies, but not exactly spring-like yet. Tonight's lows will be 18 degrees, with tomorrow's high, much like today, in the upper 20s. Now let's warm up for the Academy Awards news with this little number here. It's a number from the movie Hard to Get by Chick Bullock and his Levee Loungers from 1938, and you must have been a beautiful baby on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
You must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a wonderful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove the little boys wild. And when it came to winning blue ribbons, you must have shown the other kids how. I can see the judges' eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you made the cutest bow. No, you must have been a beautiful baby, 'cause baby, look at you now. Been a wonderful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I'll bet you drove the little boys wild. And when it came to winning blue ribbons, you must have shown the other kids how. I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you made the cutest bow. No, you must have been a beautiful baby. I took one look at you. You're a beautiful baby, baby, look at you now.
Oh, the sweet big band sound of Chick Bullock and his Levee Loungers. Lazy bunch of guys. And his hit, You Must Have Been a Beautiful Baby, on station KUWS. So, Lou and Harriet, I can't wait. I'm rooting for the Wizard of Oz. I figure the Cowardly Lion should get Best Actor, and the Wicked Witch of the West Best Actress.
It's a wonder the Academy doesn't send you a ballot.
All I can say, Jack, is that the headlines have the word lion in it, but that's as close as Bert Lehrer will get to the Best Actor Award for Cowardly Lion. And the tornado that took Dorothy to Oz is as close as the Wizard of Oz will get to Gone with the Wind. The big gale in 1939 was Gone with the Wind, which won the lion's share of the gold statuettes. In a great year for films, Gone with the Wind swept the Motion Picture Academy of the Arts competition with 8 of the possible 16 Oscars, as Hollywood insiders like to call those statuettes. The only surprise is that Best Actor Oscar didn't go to leading man Clark Gable.
Oh, I'm surprised about that, because, you know, he used a swear word in there for the first time in a movie. I assume it didn't go to Scarecrow, then.
Sorry, Jack. The Academy named Robert Donat as Best Actor for his portrayal of an English schoolmaster's life over a 50-year span in Goodbye, Mr. Chips. It's well-deserved. What a wonderful movie with so many messages. So Clark Gable becomes Hollywood's forgotten man.
Frankly, my dear, he probably doesn't give a damn.
Jack!
If Clark Gable can say that word, then so can I.
Anyway, Feldham's Famous crowded into the fabulous Ambassador Hotel for the season's wankiest affair. But for many, hopes of an Oscar were gone with the wind.
Feldham's Famous? Season's swankiest?
Is that Lewis alone? He always wanted to be a Hollywood writer.
The evening quoted audience saw a British sweep of the awards, as previously unknown actress Vivian Leigh skyrocketed to stardom as the fiery Southern Scarlet. Gone with the Wind also won top honors as the best producer and director and the best supporting actress. The Wind's memorable mammy, Hattie McDaniel, captured that prize, becoming the first Negro to be honored by the Academy.
Best Supporting Actor went to Thomas Mitchell in Stagecoach. Louis Foster won Best Original Movie Script in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Greg Toland for Best Black and White Photography in Wuthering Heights. And Walt Disney got Best Cartoon in Ugly Duckling. And there was a special award for the late Douglas Fairbanks. It was to honor him as the Academy's first president and was presented to his son, Douglas Jr.
So, you mean the woo got skunked?
The who?
No, the woo.
Oh, no.
Woo-hoo.
Too late. Harriet, it's Jack's way of trying to talk Hollywood. Woo is short for Wizard of Oz.
Gee, at least that made Harriet say woo-hoo.
That's very clever, Jack.
Woo did win two Academy Awards, one for Best Musical Score and the other for Best Song, Over the Rainbow.
Woo-hoo. So let's get out that wonderful hit song by 14-year-old Judy Garland. Here's the Woo's Somewhere Over the Rainbow on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Chimney tops, that's where you'll find me. Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly over the rainbow. Why can't I? If happy little bluebirds fly beyond the rainbow, why, oh, why can't I?
That's the young former Grand Rapids, Minnesota, Judy Garland, treating us to a trip to Oz and somewhere over the rainbow. Time for sports with Rapid Ray Paulson. Hiya, Ray.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, Jack, those flying monkeys should have gotten an Academy Award, too. I see them here in the studio once in a while. And how could the Academy overlook the Lollipop Guild?
A one and a two. We represent the Lollipop Guild.
The Lollipop Guild. The Lollipop Guild. And in the name of the Lollipop Guild,
we welcome you to Munchkin Land. Oh, boy. Hey, Ray. How about doing Cowardly Lion? You know, the King of the Forest routine?
Better not, Jack. I've got some sports here.
Too bad. Our jobs always get in the way of fun.
Oh, how true. Good evening, fans of the sporting world. We have a shocker for you. Seabiscuit is being put out to stud.
Oh.
The greatest horse of all time is retiring. Owner Charles Howard says, a champion should retire on top. Seabiscuit retires as the all-time money winner, earning $440,000 in his career. He says Seabiscuit deserves a rest. Wimbledon champ Bobby Riggs is in the semifinals of the indoor championship in New York. Riggs will face Davis Cup captain Frank Frailing and then newcomer Don McNeil. This is the 18th anniversary of the hiring of Judge Kennesaw Mountain Landis as baseball's only commissioner. The judge, as he's called, is Diamond Ball's policeman, jury, and disciplinarian. He was hired after the 1919 Black Sox bribery scandal, which almost destroyed our national pastime. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but the other candidate to head baseball in 1922 was General John Blackjack Pershing. There was a big round ball upset in Ashland, sport fans. Defending champ Ondosigan of Barksdale lost to Washburn in a real squeaker, 22-21. Also moving up in the Ashland District Tournament are Mellon, which beat Saxon, and the Drummond Five, which topped the Bayfield Fishermen. Drummond coach Vesperman's Quint took an early 8-0 lead and never lost it. The competition continues tonight with Glidden playing Iron River. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport, even flying monkeys.
Thank you, Ray. On with the music, friends. From 1938, here's Ozzie Nelson and his orchestra from the film Coconut Grove and Says My Heart on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS. For your movie-going purposes and enjoyment, good listeners, that's the singing of Harriet Hilliard with Ozzie Nelson and his orchestra and Says My Heart on station KUWS.
We're getting several phone calls.
Listeners who probably wanted to hear Ray's rendition of the Cowardly Lion singing, I bet.
Mostly it was from people wondering if we were playing a bad recording or something.
Yeah, they're all just jealous.
Community editor Harriet Farrig is back with several important items.
Thank you, Lewis. Thanks for the lovely flowers, candy, and lingerie last night. It was a fun leap day.
You're welcome.
Leapy Lou, I think we need an explanation.
I'll save it for later, Jack. It's quite sweet. First, ladies, there's so much going on. That sensational new book by John Steinbeck, The Grapes of Wrath, will be reviewed by Mrs. John Frickler at the guest day meeting of the Shakespeare Browning Club. The meeting will be Tuesday at the home of Mrs. L.A. Martin. That's 1820 Hammond Avenue. The South Shore Ladies Missionary Society met in Port Wing at the home of Mrs. Eben Olson. Readings were given by Mrs. John Helsing and Mrs. Herbert Larson sang two solos. Port Wing was busy this week. The Happy Homemakers met at the home of Mrs. Fred Caro and were treated to a lesson in cooking vegetables by Miss Mildred Olson. And pupils of Mr. George Franson enjoyed a sleigh riding party at the Roger home. There will be a speech on the Finnish-Soviet conflict tomorrow. The editor of the Finnish newspaper, Taomi's, Michael Wastila, will speak at 6 o'clock at the Superior Labor Hall. That will be so interesting, Lewis.
It certainly will. But, you know, that other thing, probably just best to drop it.
That leap day thing? No chance I'll drop that. First, let's hear the leaping sounds of Ethel Waters and Jeepers Creepers from the 1938 movie Going Places on the Martin and McKenna Show on this year's station, KUWS.
I don't care what the weatherman says when the weatherman says it's raining. You'll never hear me complaining. I'm certain the sun will shine. I don't care how the weather van points when the weather van points to gloomy. It's gotta be sunny to me when your eyes look into mine. Jeepers creepers, where'd you get those peepers? Jeepers creepers, where'd you get those eyes? Gosh, all get up, how'd you get so lit up? Gosh, all get up, how they hypnotize. Golly gee, when you turn those heaters on, wow is me, got to put my cheaters on. Jeepers creepers, where'd you get those peepers? All those weepers, how they hypnotize. Where did you get those eyes?
Friday evening music of Ethel Waters and Jeepers Creepers on station KUWS. Okay, Harriet, spill it. You got flowers, candy, And lingerie from Lewis?
Oh, how sweet.
Sweet is just the right word, Jack and listeners. Lewis was such a sport. According to tradition, Leap Day allows women to be the boss. Since yesterday was February 29th, Lewis was gracious enough to allow himself to be put in jail with many other bachelors around Superior.
Say, I would have been gracious, too. No one arrested me.
Don't be upset. A lot of guys were able to elude the long arm of the leap year law.
Miss Muriel Amundsen of Alpha Kappa Sorority was the judge who passed sentence on each man. Lewis got the harshest sentence. Since he's one of the older bachelors in town, Miss Amundsen charged him with a capital crime. He was fined flowers, candy, and lingerie. And Lewis, I must say, I didn't know you had such good taste.
He got you chocolates, then?
Yes, he did, but that's not what I'm referring to.
Ooh.
I'm just playing along with tradition. Women run the show on Leap Day, and bachelors, well, we have to toe the line.
You know the best way to avoid arrest 4 years from now, don't you, Lewis?
Ooh.
Stop ooing.
His face matches his hair, Lariat.
Ooh.
That's it, folks. We'll be back same time, same place, on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, that is, and Lou's not shopping for more lingerie. For Lewis and Harriet, this is Jack McKenna speaking. Ooh.
Stop ooing.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1940, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich. All events reported on Radio Superior 1940 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this same time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.